She's fast on the draw. Got to give me a couple seconds to get it going. So who are you?
My name is Catherine Keller, and I'm a technical evangelist on the Windows Vista evangelism team.
Cool. And where are we and what are we doing?
And we are here in Building 9 with some members of the Windows Shell team who are going to give us an overview and show us some of the really great features that are coming in Windows Vista in regards to visualize, organize, and search.
So
maybe you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Cam. I'm Cam Kertal from the Windows Vista team also, and I'm a program manager, so I'm going to talk about the developer story.
Hello, I'm Paul Kutzinger. I'm a program manager, also on the Shell team, and I'm going to be talking about the end-user experience with search and organize features.
Very cool.
I'm Mark Miller, and I'm a developer on the Shell team. Now, I'll be talking about developer extensibility.
Awesome. So
do you want to start off, what's the user experience like? So what does the user see when you execute Windows Vista and you're running it? What's the first thing they're going to see about working with the shell and working with the Explorer?
Okay.
That'd be really great.
So a couple things. First, a lot of times what people do when they use Windows is launch programs and find applications. So, and there are different documents. So I'll do that first. Here's Start Menu. Just open that guy up. Immediately what I can do.
I think you just broke the record for starting a demo.
Oh yeah, we got a demo.
All right,
so there's a search box now in the Start menu, and what I'm going to do is just start typing Notepad, whatever it might be, and you can see up here, immediately it finds the programs that I'm looking for. So you can do things like look for remote desktop, or look for all those little arcane programs that you've never seen before and can't find very easily, and they'll just come up very, very quickly and very, very easily. So that ability to get to things very, very quickly and easily is very common. So I'll launch the Search Explorer, and now I can just start looking for documents. So I want to find everything with forum in it. And you can see that I very quickly get my results set back, way more quickly than you would have in XP. In XP, it was, you saw the little dog come up, and he'd like twiddle his foot for a while. There I had the results. Now what you're seeing here is a variety of things. It's your emails. It's your documents, your pictures, your music, all the stuff you'd have on your computer. Plus, it's all the stuff you have in your client-side cache. So if you have anything offline, then it would show up here as well.
So I have 1,300 RSS feeds coming into my Outlook. It would pull those up?
Heck yeah. They'd show up in here. Yeah. Okay.
So is it searching on metadata there, or is it doing actually a search of the contents?
Mm-hmm. It's doing a couple things. It's searching across the file names, the metadata on the files, and the contents
so
of all
new, so you don't specify, you're doing the complete search, integrated search of all of those things.
That's right. There are advanced ways that you can go in here and say, I want less, and I want to do just the title and all that kind of stuff.
So the default is just any way you
just
can search
it.
On, find
our,
it.
Our principle for this is just remember anything about the file and you can find it.
Okay.
You don't have to remember, like, remember its location? Fine, you can find it. Remember something in the title? Fine, you can find it. Something you typed in? Fine, you can find it.
Very cool.
Okay, so search, that's of course one way. We're really proud about the fact that we're going to be able to go beyond search and be able to use all the other tools that you're familiar with in the Explorer. So let's just go through the scenario where I go to the Documents Explorer and want to find my file that way. So I click Documents, and the first thing that you'll see is this is a set of, it's a virtual folder, so it's got all of the documents across all of my user profile. And in my client-side cache, and attachments for emails, all this kind of stuff. It truly is all of my documents now. And I can,
Now, does that get set up automatically when you first load Windows Vista?
Yeah, that's right. So you'll see this view here. Your documents folder is still there.
Okay.
You can still navigate through your folder and keep using that just like you always have. But
do you have to put documents in a specific place to have it show up in this virtual folder?
All the places you normally put your documents, just things in your user profile. It actually scans through all those locations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there'll be no change for you.
Okay.
All right, so let's do that forum thing again. So I do F-O-R-U-M, and it's done. So I've whittled that list down from 400 and some down to 3. So first of all, it's very quick that way. In XP, what I would have done to find those is I would first go to the right folder, and then I would have scrolled, and I would have looked for Fs in the name, and I would have found this one. But these two would have been really hard. Look, it's the third word and the second word. So if I scroll down to the Fs in the list, it wouldn't have found it so easily. And again, this is going through all the metadata in the files and the full text.
What do you call that little area that you type the search into?
This is our quick search box.
Quick search box.
Yep. Okay, and it goes character by character. So if I, you can see as I untype certain characters, it'll pop back out to a broader search. So we think that alone, for many users, is just an incredible win. like just over XP, now they can very quickly find their things, and then they could use their folder system just like they used to. But we have more layers of, mm-hmm. of things. So another very usable version of this is I have authors and keywords. So we've basically taken the main pieces of metadata and called them out separately. So if I open up keywords, you can see that this is automatically organized by the keywords on the files. And so all I had to do was, well, all I have is my files. Like if I was in Office and saved my files and they were saved with the metadata, it shows up here. If I tag them myself, it shows up here. And then we automatically organize it.
Do I have to choose one category, or can I have a document belong to multiple categories or keywords?
Multiple.
So I can, and it's one physical location?
Yeah. It's very much remember anything. Here, I'll show you that. So let's go into authors, and I will go into, let's go Flavius. All right, here's all my documents by Flavius. And another part of the remember anything about the file and be able to find it is I can remember like the colors or the shapes of it. Like here's that yellow thing, mm-hmm. or the green one, or this one that has the fancy background. But the other part is, as you were just describing, we can do more detailed things. So let me do it this way. I'll click on authors, and I want to show you how you can navigate down into Flavius as if it were like subfolders. So all the skills I learned in XP, I can just keep using. So we call these stacks. These are all piles of documents by different authors, and you can kind of see on the top of them what's inside. If I scroll down in here, I can find Flavius. And also in the address bar, we call it the breadcrumb bar, you can see I'm in Karim's folder, virtual folders by author Flavius. So I can always see exactly where I'm at, and I can use this to navigate around other places. So very much XP style, I just navigated into my author. So that's the next sort of layer of things. A lot of users will do that. They'll just use these virtual folders and they'll navigate around and fantastic. Now some users will want to do more, and so we have more. You can do across the top here, there's these header controls, and this is where the more advanced user can drop this guy down and they can start doing things like, well, I only want to see finances and legal, and now I can see these keywords for this particular author. Another way to look at this is if I group by the keyword, and then here I'll show you the view menu too. Now I can see these documents even bigger because we really believe in this whole visualize so you can understand what's going on, or I can shrink them down, make them smaller and smaller and smaller. So I'll pick that size. Yep.
So that's really interesting. When you're zooming up there, you're seeing that's not the standard generic document icon that you're showing there, right? When you're zooming up.
Right. We're showing thumbnails of the documents. In this case, Office has saved out the thumbnails. And then in other cases, we render the thumbnails.
Do you have to have a new version of Office for this function?
No, the old version of Office will do it. The old version of Office doesn't do it by default. So you have to, as you save the document, say, I want to save the thumbnail with it.
Okay.
So yeah. It just stores a snapshot of that in the file, and then it's just showing you the snapshot.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can never remember what you called something, and you have to open it.
That's very helpful.
Now, do developers need to do something specific to their applications to get these cool-looking icons?
They just need to be able to save out a thumbnail.
That's sort of what my demo is about. Is developers would need to write a thumbnail provider for their application. It's pretty simple to do, actually. I have a demo of it up here on the screen where you can just implement two interfaces, two methods, one to get your stuff from a stream and one to return out your thumbnail, and you register that on your file type, and you get.
We'll see that demo in a little while.
Okay. Yeah, cool. So I think, Paul, you were focusing more on the end user experience before we can get into.
One of the questions you asked is, can
we've
I have
got a lot of geeks watching.
I know. So one of the things that you asked a minute ago is, can I have it in two places at once? So here I have this green sort of looking PowerPoint. I can just drag this up into finances, and now you'll see that it shows both in finances and legal. And if I select it, selection shows them both. It's really one file. It just has both pieces of metadata. It has a keyword legal and keyword finances. And so now the user can just drag it into groups like that. I could have dragged it over onto one of these things, just like I would drag something to a subfolder. And it automatically paints that metadata onto the file.
Is there any way to turn off the virtual views and see actually what's on the file system?
Oh, of course. There's a couple ways. Well, first, here's your traditional folders right here. Okay. So I can always just navigate right into them. And this is exactly what I had in XP. The second way to answer that question is you say, well, where is this really? Well, you can just right-click on it and just say Open Containing Folder, and it'll take you right to the actual folder and where the file's at any time.
Good.
Yeah.
And if you if you drag that icon onto a USB key or a floppy drive or something,
it copies it. Yeah, it's the same logic that we use in XP, where if I copy it somewhere on the volume, it moves it, and then if I copy it off the volume, it makes a copy of it. So onto a USB key, make a copy, and you're good.
Cool. Any keyboard shortcuts that we need to learn for this?
My favorite one is the Windows key, and literally just hit the Windows key and start typing, and that does search. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. Okay. So I've showed you those things. Now, the other part of this is we have a fairly specialized experience in documents, and then there's very in pictures as well. So now I can see different verbs, like I want a slideshow, ordering prints online. But at the same time, and all these folders here, now I have keywords, and I can see all the sub-organization based on the pictures keywords now, right?
Okay.
So it's specialized in that sense. And at the same time, it's consistent, because I still have this Word wheel box up here, and I can just start typing things into it, and I can navigate around and all that kind of stuff. So it's one set of controls and actions and gestures, but it's a very tailored experience for each particular thing.
So only my photos would show up in that, or images would show up in this Explorer?
Yeah, it's all your pictures and videos. Yeah,
okay.
Different types. Yeah. So let me show you a little more extreme example, very very quickly, just to give you an idea. As you start to hear from Karim and Mark, you're going to see the kinds of things you can do in your applications. So here's an example where we did the same thing with the control panel. It's not about your files so much, but it is about your information on your machine. And so here I have all this stuff, and I can just start typing display. And very quickly this list starts to filter down just to the things that involve display. If I don't remember display, I might go resolution. And I can find all the things with resolution in them, or background, or whatever it might be. So it's just about managing your information on your machine, your files, your programs, the different settings, or whatever you might have in other applications that people start to develop in the future. One last thing I want to show you very, very quickly, and that is the common file dialog. So I'm going to launch Notepad, and I'm going to just save this guy. So the thing that comes up is the new common file dialog, and it's much more extensible and all this kind of stuff, and Krim's going to tell you tons of details about that. One of the key things is it's got the same kind of organization. So if I want to save this into like keyword advertising, I can just navigate there and do it, and you can see that the keyword advertising is getting filled in for me automatically. I could hand type it in down here if I wanted to, or I can just browse around and I can save it. So this is a really cool way for applications to build onto this system, because all they need to do is call the common file dialog, and all of a sudden they get all the benefits of being able to open and save their files.
Okay, so the user can do that interactively. Now what if I had my application that wanted to be able to do that when I'm saving the file? Maybe I know something about the file and I want to add that metadata. Can I do that?
There's metadata handlers that these guys are about to talk to. Let's jump over to that. I think this might be a good point for them to start kicking
in. So if I'm building an application, okay, so now we can talk to our developers out there who want to know, like, how can they use this? And I'm building an app and I want to be able to maybe search or, you know, bring some of that information into my application. What do you think are the main areas where I can take advantage of these functionalities in my application?
Well, the first thing is you can actually use most of the features that Paul was showing, that's what we built in the shell, in your own apps. The first one is like search. Search is, like, I actually built an app. Instead of talking, I'll actually show how this works. So let's cancel this one. And so here, what I did is actually I built a very simple app. This is a WinForms app right now. So what it does is it actually, it uses OLADB. So if you know OLADB today, you're all set up, actually ADO.NET for managed developers. And we have a connection string that you can actually connect to, and it connects to our search engine. So,
just to make sure I understand. So, is Windows is providing the search engine is providing an OLADB provider?
That's exactly what I'm doing here. Yeah. And because of that, it's just you can use the same knowledge that you have in terms of building ADO.NET applications to search across our index. So, let me actually just show this. Here we go. Here, so this is sort of like a simple, I guess, a developer UI of the of what we have in the shell. It's so here you have like a search box kind of thing that I built. Very simple, it's just a text box actually. You can go back, it kind of simulates the word wheeling effect that we had. And let me, for example, type Brutus. We're using all these Latin names, I guess. So here we go. I actually got all the results back populated in the list view just because I issued an ADO.NET query, and I get results here. And I can select one of these things. If I select these, now I'm getting all the metadata that this document has. So part of the metadata, the file name and the file size is shown in this list view, but also more detailed metadata like the title, the author, the keywords, the comments are in here. The cool thing about this thing is that it's not read-only. It's not about just about search. It's also about being able to organize things. In order to organize things, the most important thing you need to do is to be able to, you know, type in keywords, comments, tags, all those kind of things. So here in this app, actually, I enabled that one too. So you can go in here and just say, you know, let's change this comment to something else. Great. Okay.
So
and I said,
do I have to know the file format where that's being saved to, or where is that information being saved?
No, actually, the great thing about this is we have an abstraction. When I hit update, what's going to happen is it's actually going to find out a specific handler that's per file type that we some of them we ship in the box, like for the common ones like the JPEGs, the doc formats, all the document formats, things like that. We ship them in the box. Some others ISVs will be able to actually create. Mark is actually going to be able to talk about that. He's going to create one for a recipe file format just a little later on. But the idea here is that as long as you have this metadata handler, or the property handler, we call it, you're all set. That's the abstraction. So as soon as I hit update, it's going to actually update that. Now, if I do the same search here in the shell UI, let's see, Brutus, and here we go. This was actually the one that I've changed it. Here, the comment actually now shows gray. So it updated it, and the shell UI also shows the same comment. So from your app, you can write these organization type apps and also be able to search across these things. So this is one thing that's low level, like the search APIs, the property APIs that we provide to the developers.
I think this is really, really cool because you saw a bunch of ways where the user can browse and write their own metadata on this stuff, but applications now can do all sorts of algorithms on their data to figure out what the best keywords would be or the best ways to automatically do this stuff for users. And the more we can automate this as a whole Windows-wide ecosystem, it'd be incredible. It'd just be so much better for users.
So what if I wanted to write in my app, I wanted to query some emails that I'd written? Would I have to go through Outlook to do that specifically, or would I be able to do it through the search?
No, you're OADB? Actually using still the OADB providers because the idea is that everything, like including Outlook or other third-party, you know, email applications, can use our plugin mechanisms to actually plug into the search system. What we do is we actually index those items from Outlook or you know, any other data source they might have, and put it into this one unified index that's in Windows. And ADO.NET just basically provides a query back into that one.
That's really cool. So I don't have to go in and know the Outlook programming model or the object model or Mappy to go in and find those emails.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So one other thing that we have is Paul actually just started talking about it is the common file dialog. Common file dialog, I think, is right now, I mean, if you look at existing ISVs, some of them built their own common file dialogs. The biggest reason for that we saw in the ISV community is that, well, there was really not too much of a customization potential there. So it's we basically shipped one stock common file dialog, and that was it. That was only what you could use. Now, in Vista, what we're doing is actually we're allowing the ISVs to customize it, and we're also creating a whole new set of APIs, actually, a much, much richer set of APIs to interact with the common file dialog. One thing I could show is I also built another app that uses the common file dialog. And let me just run this one. So this one is actually a very simple stock Windows app. I'm just going to show, you know, some of the features of the common file dialog here. So the first thing is the basic file open one. So you can just like the Notepad was doing it, just using the APIs, open a file. These are the standard things that you have today, and it still works in Vista. So nothing earth-shattering here. And the next step is common places. So one of the features in XP is that we have this area where you have quick access to the common places.
Yeah, my
where
documents
you say
and
yes.
Desktop.
The problem with that one is, again, it wasn't extensible, so you couldn't actually add your own place. So it was, if you had like an app like Visio where you put your document shapes, for example, you couldn't actually put that without building your own common file dialog. In this case, we actually make it extensible. So as you see, the new common places is actually here. It's a more scalable UI, mm-hmm. too. It actually shows more places for you to be able to extend. And here, in this case, I actually added music, my music, programmatically into this with using our API. So it's not just a desktop on the computer that you've seen before. Now you can add music or any other place that you have for your own app. So that's one of the, another feature we have.
Some apps there, they might do, when they're opening, have a default save location, but they also might, in certain situations, have like templates. Mm-hmm. So in those situations, they would show their templates location in the commons in the common places. So it can vary within an app too.
So you don't have to be, it's not just people who are providing, you know, this deep shell integration, but just, I'm just writing an app, I save documents somewhere, and I might have some place that I know makes sense for my users that they typically might want to just go directly there.
That's right. And now finally, let me just show the customization of the dialog. So in this case, I added this radio buttons under the common file dialog, so you can actually add more content. So I'm going to change the title of the common file dialog from from Longhorn to Windows Vista, and then back to Longhorn. Mm-hmm. So you can basically, in this case, you can add your own logic here. You can add your own type of controls. And you can handle those events that those controls have, so you can customize it with the data that you want to get from your app into your app.
How much room do I have to add controls to the dialog? Is there a limited amount of space, or does it grow?
It will actually grow. Like for example, if you add just one control, we would, and if it's a button, we would actually be smart about it and put it here. Mm-hmm. Right beside open, we will put there. So we're trying to optimize the space too by, if you have one place, then putting it into a better area. And yes, it will grow as the number of controls you add. Obviously, you don't want to add too many controls, otherwise it gets, like for example, in this screen, it will be a little
too
big.
You want to be scrolling
in your
dialogue
box. That's right. Yeah, so these are the two big areas where we're allowing ISVs to use some of the shell services, some of the Windows Vista services in their own applications.
So now if you were showing all the, so you had those metadata that you're calling in the integration with the Explorer, what if I'm providing my own file formats? You mentioned that you're going to be shipping in the box some of those property handlers, is that what you call them?
Property handlers,
so
that's great.
For being able to add that integration, now if I have my own file formats, how do I get that integration with the Windows Shell?
Well, actually, probably Mark can actually show you his recipe sample. It's a pretty cool sample.
Okay. So, well, I have here. Let me just switch the monitor input because I guess this one's too much flicker. So, I have here as just an example of what a user might get. Just kind of out of the box, you've got the thumbnails as you saw earlier, and I don't think anyone's shown the reading pane yet, but there's this preview pane where you can sort of have live previews of the stuff that's in your document, and for images we show thumbnails, and then down here you have the properties that you can edit. But here is my own file format, the recipe file format. And by default, I really don't get very much because the system doesn't know how to extract any of the content, so I can't search over it. I don't know how to edit the stuff. If I try to apply a keyword, the system will say, well, I couldn't interpret this file type, so I couldn't actually apply any metadata to it. So what I've done is I've gone ahead and implemented a property handler over this recipe file format. And the property handler looks—it's very simple. What it does is it maps back and forth between property names and property values, and it's got a get value function and a set value function. And I've also written a thumbnail provider for it, as well as a preview handler. So the final result. Please.
Can you just go? Can you just tell us a little bit more what that means? Like what the so you talked about a property handler. That's mm-hmm. the one that's going to give you the read-write of metadata in your file formats?
Right, right. I can show you the interface if you like.
Yeah, if you could just, I think if you could just be a little more, like, so what are the different elements of extensibility and what do they provide in the shell? So I heard you say three different areas.
Right, very well. So to get these thumbnail images of the recipe, the pictures of the recipes, you know, for the beef chili recipe, I have a picture of beef chili. To get those images, I wrote a thumbnail provider and registered it on the file type.
And the responsibility of that thumbnail provider is to provide that snapshot? Is that that's what it does?
It takes as input the stream that contains the recipe file, in my case, and then it gives as output the thumbnail image.
Okay.
And then as the shell is rendering this view, it asks for each file, please give me the thumbnail for it, and it looks up who the right thumbnail provider is for that file.
And so it's up to the provider to determine what they show, whether they persist it in the file or not. Could they do it live?
That's right. They could do a live rendering of it.
Okay.
If that can be cheaply done. Obviously, if you take a lot of time to compute the thumbnail is, then
you don't want to be
right. Then you'll hang
slow
the UI. So
that was a thumbnail provider. Then you also mentioned the property handler was about getting the persisting the properties.
That's right. What the property handler enables is, if you notice when I mouse over this file, I see some custom things. I see not only the author of the recipe, but how difficult it is, what its difficulty rating is, medium in this case, yield, 8 servings. So these are my own custom property that are only applied to recipe files. Clearly, if I mouse over a music file, it's not going to say that yields 8 servings.
Mm-hmm.
So the provider that I registered for this file type, part of the registration mechanism said, in a tooltip, please show these things. And likewise, there's some other places, like the preview pane here. It not only shows the difficulty and the yield, but it shows these keywords, and then it shows the prep time, 15 minutes, and the cook time, 2 hours. This is going to be good chili, because cooking for 2 hours. I like to cook my chili for a day, but and then not only that, I can also apply metadata to it. So in that case, I clicked the beef chili recipe and I said, that's a 4-star recipe, so I rated it at 4 stars. This directory. So the other thing that I've registered over the file types is this preview handler here. That allows me to, again, it's just like the thumbnail handler. It takes in the input stream of the recipe, and instead of outputting a thumbnail in this case, it outputs a window that can be interacted with. So, for example, I can actually select in here and copy things out and paste it. And so, really, by just implementing these three handlers, I've sort of built kind of a whole recipe application that a user can use just entirely within the rest of the user experience. One other thing I'd like to show is, because these metadata handlers, these property handlers, expose the file's content in a way that is consumable through this abstraction that Karim talked about, I can do all of the search and organize stuff over my recipe file. So I have an example here where I have my recipes stacked by author. So, for example, I can go into all of the Alton Brown recipes. I have a bug right now where the thumbnails aren't rendering. But I can go in the Alton Brown recipes and see the ones just by Alton Brown. I can go back. I can expand keywords and say, I just want the ones with eggs and fish, because I have lots of eggs and fish hanging around my house. Or the ones that are related to chili. You know, I can do all of those experiences over my own proprietary file format, because I've plugged into the Windows in that way.
Can I have your file format for to run in my PC in my kitchen? I'd really like to be able to do that. You don't know what to make for dinner. I can just get right to it with querying the metadata.
Right.
That's really cool. So you mentioned three different areas for customization. You mentioned the property handlers, the thumbnail providers, and the preview providers. Did I get those right?
The preview handlers.
Preview handlers. If I'm a developer and I have my own file format, which one should I do first?
I think the biggest bang for the buck is the property handler, because that allows you to participate in the search experience.
Okay.
I could pull up a thing and search for the keyword egg or blend or something, and get the files. If I had an icon registered over it, I'd still see some sort of visual over that. I think probably next after that is the thumbnail handler, because it has a lot of visual impact. And then the preview handler would be my third
priority. Actually, in this release, we made building these tumblers much simpler.
Okay.
In the previous releases, it was we had the functionality, but right now we have a much simpler interface. So I think developers will have easier time actually building these things in this release.
So I know that how difficult is it to write a property handler though? I mean, you have to implement a COM interface or two, and is it something I would do in managed code, or do we?
Well,
you know, how would I go about doing that?
Well, the property handler interface, if I could just show you some code here, it's actually a pretty simple interface. It's just kind of like a dictionary. You get the count of items, get value. These are the methods right here: get count, get at, get value, set value, and commit. So these are what I would. These are the methods that I implemented
mm-hmm.
over my property handler. There's a few guidelines that we have that I could go into. For example, property handlers should generally support open metadata. In other words, they can accept any property being set on them so that, if I want to stamp a 4-star rating on the file format, then it can accept that number that says 4 stars, the rating is 4 stars. And if we want to enable other features like that, or keywords, we want to stamp arbitrary keywords on an item, a property handler that supports open metadata can have these totally opaque to them properties being set on
mm-hmm.
them and store them away in their file format somewhere. But if you can't support open metadata because it doesn't make sense for your format, we have a fallback property handler that you can use that will actually stamp the properties into a secondary stream on your files. The drawback there being you can't then, the user gets a bad experience when copying to a pen drive or something that doesn't support secondary streams.
So they lose that information when they copy it over?
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's some trade-offs that sometimes have to be made, but it seems very exciting with how you can. What I find very impressive is the fact that your recipe files, completely controlled by you, thought up proprietary file formats, and it looks like it's part of the Windows Vista shell. It's great. I'm very excited to see. I'm just really looking forward to working with this stuff and organizing my recipes that way.
This is really awesome stuff.
Thank
it
you.
It is really good.
Thanks.
Yeah. So is that it?
Yep.
Got any more?
Oh, there's tons more.
There's tons more. How much time?
Well, you know, the viewership goes off after this, but what else do we need to know? How much of what we're seeing is actually going to be in the final product? Are we seeing 80% of the final product here, or over the next few months, is the UI experience going to change a whole lot?
There will be changes for Beta 2. Mostly they're usability changes, performance tuning, getting the rest of the API just really tightened up. So it's really refining from here.
Right. Conceptually, everything is pretty
solid.
That's
right.
Right. I mean, we want to change some of the semantics of the H results, you know, that you return from your functions, or that kind of a thing. But the concepts are solid.
Now, which version are we seeing here? Is this beta 2 bits, or
so
is this
PC? The one actually I showed runs on beta 1.
Okay.
So the one that Mark was showing is on beta 2. So the thumbnail handlers and the preview handlers actually came in beta 2.
Very cool.
But the property handlers would work for beta 1.
Yep.
Is there any performance issues that users, do you need a fast hard drive, or do you need a really killer video card to do this stuff?
So
is this just running on a standard tablet PC,
this is actually a tablet PC right now.
So we're not even seeing the cool glass interface.
Right. The demo that I just showed was over remote desktop.
The only reason why you're not seeing the cool glass on this tablet right now is because the video card, we just don't have the right video driver on this one. But
yeah.
It's just about to arrive, so once it comes in, so you'll see.
Yeah,
no,
I
have
that tablet.
So you'll see video card, I guess. Yeah, other than that, it's just that with PC, it probably has a 5400 RPM drive. It's running pretty fast.
Oh.
And
why is it called the shell? Where did that come from?
The shell? Oh, that's an interesting question. Mark,
we slip and say the shell. It's kind of funny. We have it's just legacy. We've been called the shell team forever. But we'll get people emailing our team aliases saying, oh, I have problems with the command shell because the echo command doesn't work in this build or something like that. And it's explaining, actually we're the explorer. So when we talk externally, we try to use the term explorer, but as we've done today, kind of slip up and say shell every once in a while.
Even some of our interfaces still use shell, so we're kind of between shell. I guess it's Yeah, historically that way.
But it's still more than the Explorer, right? Because I mean, it's the start menu and the desktop and all of those.
Yeah, it's like the UI,
the top line UI.
What the user's actually working with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What else do we need to know about the Explorer? I think you guys have done a pretty good job. It's really exciting to see this work. It's the first time I've really had a good shot at it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you're gonna see it over and over as you get into like the Sync Manager, or you get into Software Explorer, the new add or remove programs. All these things use the Explorer and use all the tools you just saw. So it's all about that, providing a consistent experience over very specialized data, ways.
Today we just
keep digging in.
Today we mostly actually focus on the search, organize, visualize features of the shell. And there's like Synchronization Manager, there's a new wizards system that we're coming up with, which we call the Arrow Wizards. There's like the new message box that we're coming out with, we're calling it Task Dialogues. We're going to be talking about those at the PDC too. And,
this video is being held for the PDC.
Okay, so you'll, I guess.
We're slowly seeing all the cool stuff that the PDC is going
to
show
up. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of other exciting places for developers to plug in as well, especially in the search infrastructure. So Karim briefly mentioned, Outlook plugs in their data source to the infrastructure, but how would a third party like Outlook or with their own data source plug in their data so that can be searched over? And I believe one of the PDC talks is going to address that as well. Yeah.
How scannable is this? Can I come up with my own really weird Yu-Gi-Oh! Skin for the search dialog boxes, or am I stuck with the Windows pre-designed look and feel?
Well, we let you put your stuff into our Explorer. Or, because of the things we've given you, you can write your own app and do whatever you want with the look and feel of it. But basically, it's the Explorer look and feel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet in a year when Ed Bott gets his book out, he'll have tons of tips and tricks. What do you expect? What are you guys learning about the Explorer that, are power user tricks for getting around?
The thing I find surprising is the power user tricks seem to be everyday user tricks. Like, just using that word wheel control, it's so hard for me to go back to XP. The Windows key on the start menu makes it so hard to browse through the flyout. It's those things, and I don't really think of them as power user things, which is sort of weird.
I never do start run anymore, right?
Right.
I just do start, and that edit box in there, I can type and progressively search through my documents, and if I can start and then type note, and it's like notepad?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to execute. Uh-huh. I'm totally addicted to that.
I also think that people will start using virtual folders in very interesting ways, like what Mark was showing in terms of his recipes. You can create these really interesting queries against your data, and you leave it there, and you get more results coming in time, and it's going to be interesting. Like people, I'm looking forward to see people coming up with these cool new queries against their data, and publish them to other people to see stuff
right.
like that. It will be very interesting.
Right. Is there any index latency? If I come up with 1,000 new files and put it on my file, does it take a while for it to index and be searchable?
So it is. We're making it really fast. Fast. We're working on making it really fast. In beta 1, we're still not exactly there, but going forward in beta 2 and in the release candidates, it's going to be almost instantaneous for most cases. But obviously, if you're copying and thousands of items, there's going to be latency, right? So, but we're trying to minimize that. But for few items that you're, hundreds of items you're writing in, it will be very fast. And
very cool.
We're putting lots of effort into that one.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing is that it's going to really reduce the time it takes to find a file.
Yeah.
Because that, when you just don't know where it is, you can't remember what you called it, and this just like direct access. Very exciting.
Well, very cool. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedules to show this to us.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.